Well, this afternoon, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau delivered an apology in the House of Commons. He was speaking to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and two-spirit Canadians, and was speaking about what he called decades of state-sponsored, systematic oppression and rejection by the federal government and its agencies. Here's some of what he had to say.
Mr. Speaker, the number one job of any government is to keep its citizens safe. And on this, we have failed LGBTQ2 communities and individuals time and time again. It is with shame and sorrow and deep regret for the things we have done that I stand here today and say we were wrong, we apologize, I am sorry, we are sorry. For state-sponsored systemic oppression and rejection, we are sorry. For suppressing two-spirit Indigenous values and beliefs, we are sorry. For abusing the power of the law and making criminals of citizens, we are sorry. To all the LGBTQ2 people across this country who we have harmed in countless ways, we are sorry. To those who were left broken by a prejudiced system and to those who took their own lives, we have failed you. For stripping you of your dignity, for robbing you of your potential, for treating you like you were dangerous, indecent, and flawed, we are sorry. To the victims of the purge who were surveilled, interrogated, and abused, who were forced to turn on their friends and colleagues, who lost wages, lost health, and lost loved ones, we betrayed you, and we are so sorry.
That was Prime Minister Justin Trudeau speaking in the House of Commons this afternoon. Now, earlier in the day, the Liberal government tabled a bill that would allow people convicted of historical same-sex offenses to have their criminal records expunged. For their thoughts on how things have developed in the LGBT community, I'm joined by Catherine Taylor. She is the Associate Dean of Arts at the University of Winnipeg and is working the second national inquiry on the state of homophobia, transphobia, and biphobia in Canadian schools. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And also, Garrett Whipp is a gay man formerly of Homewood Hutterite Colony and joins us as well in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I want to start with you, Catherine, because you were listening to our Prime Minister there, and you were nodding your head as you listened very intently. I could tell you're listening there. What does Justin Trudeau's apology mean to you personally?
It means I found myself more moved in listening to the apology than I expected to be. And I think I was nodding because as I listened to those words, and they seemed like very, very genuine words, he just about nailed it in describing the treatment of LGBT people by the state over the years. But as I was listening to him, I was thinking back to his father. And the state has no business in the bedrooms of the nation. When was that? 1969 or thereabouts? And at that time, I was a teenager in a very, very grim time to be growing up LGBT. And wondering if I was going to have a future, wondering if I was going to be safe in this world. And that gave me hope. And I think, helped me in the process of coming out when I was 17, even though it was such a very grim time. yeah.
What about for you, Garrett? What does that apology mean to you?
As I agree with you, it sounded very sincere, and I was surprised at that too. Mm-hmm. But growing up younger in a different generation than you, I feel like that apology won't really affect us. We won't hear it as you guys did.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, it means a lot because I understand what you guys went through for us to have our rights. I understand it completely, and I thank you so much for that. That's basically all I've got to say. Like,
Catherine, you mentioned there coming out at 17 in right. this what was I could imagine how stressful that was and tough at that time. Well, just a bit, she says. Can you tell us about coming out for you? How did it all? What led up to it, and how did it happen?
Well, I was aware as a teenager, as I suppose. A great many young gay and lesbian and bi teenagers were of their not fitting in and not developing the kind of heterosexual desires that other kids seem to be. And in taking stock of whether and when it would be safe to come out, I was affected by things like the apology. Or not the apology, but the Prime Minister Trudeau at the time's changing the law. But I was also affected by immediate experiences, like when I was in high school, a young friend that I had, 15 years old, who was lesbian, was discovered to be lesbian by her parents. They sent her to a psychiatrist who got her committed to the Brockville Psychiatric Hospital, where she was put through intensive electroconvulsive therapy to try to shock her out of being lesbian. So, yeah, it was a pretty grim time. But by the time I was coming out, it was the very early 70s, and there was also a kind of gay liberation movement that was sort of starting to be visible. If you squinted and looked hard enough from small town Ontario, you could maybe see it. And there were the first lesbian feminist books coming out. And I was a great reader. I started by looking up homosexual in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. And went on from there. So it was kind of a solo journey in a way. But I was in small town Ontario, town of 13,000 people, and I managed to find other kids who were gay and lesbian. Yeah. So we made it through.
Garrett, for you, what was that experience like? Tell us about coming out for you.
Still in when I came out it was 2014, and back then it's very much okay to come out. It's encouraged. It's very much encouraged to come out. But growing up a Hutterite, it's against the law. It's against the Bible. So my coming out was very hard. I ran away from home, and then once I actually fully came out, which was with a news article. And I started fighting for gay rights within the Hutterite community, and it wasn't received well for it being 2014, and I just don't think like religion should have a say. We were talking about this earlier. Religion should have a say if or not you should come out or not. Nowadays, you shouldn't even have to announce yourself when you come out. People shouldn't have to ask you, are you gay?
I find it amazing that we're sitting here talking about this, and you two from different generations are speaking with the same grimness and fear when it comes to your coming out stories. Just shows that even though the times have changed, it all depends on the community you're part of.
Absolutely.
And the mentality of the people around you and that sort of thing as well. Catherine, what sort of social and political change have you seen over the years?
When I was growing up, there was zero visibility of the LGBT movement. And now, you know, there are white middle class LGBT people all over the place. Everywhere you look, there we are again. So it's a pretty good time to be a white middle class LGB or sometimes even T person. But it's still... You know, other parts of our community are still very, very marginalized. Communities that are differentially affected by racism and poverty have not enjoyed the same improvement that others of us have. Youth who are isolated in religious conservative communities are having a very, very hard time of it. I think they're enduring more bullying now in schools than they did when I was a kid. Hmm. When I was a kid, I think people believed that there were only four gay people in the world, so they weren't likely to be in your class. But now kids know that we're out there.
Right.
And so the bullies are looking for the queer kids and picking on them.
Garrett, what's it like for you to be out now? I mean, I know it's been years. It's 2017 now. But you know, ever since coming out, what's that like for you?
Among the Hadra community, it's not been good at all. I have, received death threats. They're very archaic rules. They just don't believe with it. In Winnipeg in general, I'm feminine. As you can tell, I'm a feminine guy. And in Winnipeg, femininity is not that accepted still in 2017. I've had instances where I've walked down the street and people are like, fag. So, and this is most probably last year or a couple of months ago, So. There still has to be a lot. We still have far to go when it comes to being gay.
Yeah. What work needs to be done still?
Well, I think last year it was when they announced the blood. It was you have to be a year.
Oh, the time period to wait.
Yes.
Before you can donate blood.
I still think that's very unfair. Very unfair, because straight people can go in and just give blood, and gay people have to have, I think it's a partner, or no sex for a year.
So that's an indicator right there.
It still shows that Canada is very homophobic.
Catherine, what do you think? What work still needs to be done?
Well, there's lots of work that needs to be done, but what I focus on in my research is the situation of LGBTQ students in the K-12 system. And it would go a long way towards ending the erasure and stigmatization of LGBT people if we could just start admitting kids into the dignity of ordinary, everyday life at school. Just end this oppressive and completely unnecessary silence about the existence of LGBT people in the K-12 system. Normalize the existence of LGBT kids. Start talking about all of the LGBT people who are already on the curriculum in English class, like William Shakespeare, for starters.
Well, you know, it was said to me by a very smart person once that students all are better at learning when they see someone like themselves in their books.
Yeah, that too. And in their staffs. I mean, we're talking about an era when Pierre Trudeau was justice minister, when gay and lesbian teachers were just routinely fired. They were gone if they were discovered to be gay in those days. And there's still a great deal of homophobia in the school system now. So the vast majority of LGBT teachers are closeted at work. And that deprives LGBTQ youth of role models, you know, signs that you can be happy and have a great life as an LGBT person, even if you're being bullied at school.
So a lot of work still to be done. Thanks to both of you for coming by here and sharing your stories with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the invitation.
Winnipeggers Catherine Taylor and Garrett Whipp.